Do you know that God is excited about the small things and the big things, right? Even, I mean, our appliances, no joke. I encourage you to, like, when you get gas, pray and ask for it to be multiplied. I'm telling you, I have testimonies of times where I really should have run out of gas, like not very smart, like years ago, not like 10 years ago specifically, but it really wasn't that long ago. I was still an adult. So I'm just telling you, it's really good to practice supernatural gifting in prayer, because he will bless your appliances. He'll open up favor. I mean, just, you know, amazing stuff. So that is a lot of the heartbeat of Transform, is to be able to equip us moving and breathing the way that the Lord wants us to be able to be supernatural, to be able to think the way he thinks. And so what we are doing this month and most of next month is we're going to hear transformation testimonies. So similar to these goodness of God testimonies, these short bits that we love to do all the time, we are going to hear testimonies from Erica and Matthew Pagliaro. They are our children's director and student life director, and a couple, and have a lovely family and beautiful girls. And so I asked them to come and to share with you guys their story. It's an opportunity for us to hear and learn more about one another, but especially how God has been moving, how they've engaged with the Lord. And so I just want us to honor when we have guest speakers, if you guys will stand with me and let's express honor with them. All right. So, each of you have a microphone? Yes? Push and hold this here. Okay.
There you Hello.
Go. Got it? Okay, so let me pray right before we start, if that's okay. Father, I just ask that you will help us to open up our hearts and our minds, God, and that you would give us that nugget, whatever it is that you want us to hear and to know and to receive from them. Lord, I just bless them as a couple. I bless their family and I bless their testimony, Lord. Just let it multiply over us as they speak it, not just during the impartation time, but even as we're hearing it, Lord, will you stir things up in us and feed our spirit from their story. So I thank you for your story in their story. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. Hey, guys. As Miss Cindy said, I'm Erica. So I'm going to start this off. And then once I'm done, my lovely husband will pop on in with his story. Of course, at any time, if I miss something or something really good is popping in your head, go ahead. Thankfully, though, during worship, the Lord gave me a couple stories that I believe will resonate within you guys. So the first story is how I became a Christian, real quick. My household did not ever speak of Jesus, ever. And I had two parents, mom and dad, still married, and an older brother, David. And my friend, I slept over our house all time Friday into Saturday, and then I started sleeping Saturday into Sunday, which meant I went to church with her. And that meant Erica got saved real fast, because she had an awesome church that I went to all the way until I moved away from New York. So I grew up there. She lived 20 minutes. So here's my church. Here's me. Here's where my friend lives. So she had a 40-minute drive, plus she had to get off the exit 10 minutes to me, 10 minutes back to exit. So she added 20 minutes to get me and 20 minutes to drop me off. She already had a 40-minute drive there and then 40 minutes back, and then added an extra 40 minutes for 3 years, y'all, till I got my license. 3 years she went out of her way pouring into me, this mom, picking me up and dropping me off. And so I felt like the Lord wanted me to share that, because if y'all are pouring into somebody else's life or going out of your way to do the extra step, that person may end up becoming a children's director. You don't know what you're pouring into and how many lives I've affected that she never touched, but because she touched me, that many more are added to her account. So I felt like that's how I got saved, because a friend took me to church and continued to take me to church until I was sufficient on my own to do it. We fast forward a couple of years. It's my senior year of high school. I am known as the Jesus girl, the Bible girl, and the band geek all throughout my high school. And it was a very large high school, like New Braunfels and Comal. Our summer before my senior year, I started dating this gentleman, Mark, who I thought was a Christian. Found out once he opened up to me, he was Scientologist. And I was like, oh, we're done. And that was in July, ended it. I come back to school my senior year, and the biggest thing that happened in my town was that I dropped this kid Mark. And so everyone was like, Erica dropped him because he didn't believe in Jesus. And that was the word all buzzing throughout high school. Why was that? I have no idea why that was the big topic. But because of that moment, Matthew is a first year in Texas A&M. He comes back for his break, which is in my hometown. And my lab partner, Alejandra, who knows I love Jesus, we do high fives for Jesus every time I come in for AP Biology, gets to meet Matthew and talk to him, and she thinks he's really cute, and then she hears Jesus, Jesus, Jesus out of his mouth, and she's like, no, you would be perfect for my friend Erica. So she came to me with his phone number and his MySpace account. Go ahead. He's got something to add to that because he was
just,
there. I was
just one detail. So she says, you should meet my friend Erica. She's Christian. And I'm thinking in the back of my head, yeah, a lot of people call themselves Christian. And she says, she dumped her last boyfriend because he wasn't Christian. I said, oh, hold on, I got to meet this girl. So I wrote down my email address real quick, and I said, I'm on MySpace. It was MySpace back then. And Erica MySpaces me one day.
Well, the Pagliaro name. Yeah. So I had already told Jesus, this is my senior year. I'm not dating nobody. I ain't meeting nobody because then they're going to go to some college. I'm going to go to some college. It's just you and me, Jesus. We got this. So then Christmas break starts rolling around. My friend Alejandra comes to me. I got this cute boy. You got to meet him. I said, no, 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 no. And then I read Matthew Pagliaro. Now let me tell you about the Pagliaros. There are several of them in my high school, none with good reputations. The one that I knew personally was in my grade and was the typical movie jock who got any girl he wanted at any time. And I disliked him with a passion. The one person in all my school that I disliked with a passion is now my cousin, who I love. But so I said, Pagliaro, no way, ain't touching him. And my friend Alejandra said, well, how much are you like your cousins? And I said, oh, snap. My cousins, they got DWIs, they got this and that, they're all crazy. So I was like, all right. I MySpaced him with the, like, not a very friendly letter, y'all. I was just like, hi, America, my friend Alejandra told me to Facebook you, whatever. Like, MySpace you. And I was like, I dropped it.
So I read the message she sent me, and it says, this is what I'm doing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And I said, looks like Wednesday you're going to church. I'll see you Wednesday.
Yeah, because he wanted to meet me. And I was like, I'm busy. I'm busy every day of the week. I'm busy doing this. I'm busy doing that. And so that's why he came to church with me on Wednesday. And we hit it off, and we talked for hours and hours. And it played off from there. And then we started dating when he came back for spring break, and we've been inseparable ever since. But the point of that story, I felt the Lord was telling me for the lovely teenagers and everyone, is it's not the mistakes you make, but it's what you do after you made the mistake that stays with people. No one remembered. I felt horrible that I dated a person who wasn't Christian, because in my church, you don't date someone who ain't Christian. And I was like, dang, how'd I get tricked? And like, man, that was so bad on me. No one remembered that I made that boo-boo. Everyone remembered how I corrected it instantly. And so if you guys make a mistake, it's what you do after the mistake that everyone remembers. So just remember. Anyway, so I felt like that was what the Lord wanted to impart. So my hubby and I were inseparable, so much so that we had Miss Julia Jubilee 9 months later. Thank God I was graduated.
We had a closet full of board games that we went through very quick.
Yes, well, you know. So we wanted to get married before Miss Julia Jubilee, before all that happened, but we knew our parents were going to think we were crazy because I had just turned 18, he was 19. We ain't got no jobs. So we said, all right, we're just going to have to wait a couple years till we get married. And things happened. So then they let us get married. Isn't that a miracle? As soon as you're pregnant, now you can get married. So Juvia turned one, and we got married. So just that's our like past. Now I'm going to go zoo, like 7.5 years to 6 months ago, okay, I guess? you know, I've been a Christian, going to church, done dance ministry, done youth, done high school, done all these wonderful Christian-like things. So right after Easter of 2016, Matthew and I decided to change churches, and we're looking for a church, and we decided on Legacy. Well, Matthew decided on Legacy. I was very indecisive because when I first came, I was being fed 100% by Pastor Jay. I mean, the word he gave knocked my socks off. It was the church surroundings that I was like, There's no dance team. There's no flashing lights. There's no cool this. There's no cool that. I was like, I don't know about this. But I was being 100% fed in like more than I have in years. But, you know, I was a little naive. So I was trying other churches, and then I asked the Lord, okay, if it's legacy, just make my heart leap for it. And if it's this other church, have my husband's heart leap for it, because we have to be one-hearted. And that was like after 2 weeks. I hate when we're not the same. So that Sunday I came to Legacy, and I was jumping for joy, worshiping, excited. So I was like, all right, Lord, obviously you've done a 180 in my heart, and this is our church. So we attend for a month, and Pastor Papa Jack comes. Pastor Jay's like his spiritual father, and he'll be coming again this May. And at the end of the first night, he does this whole preaching, and he says, what is the one prayer that you've prayed for like your whole life and you haven't seen happen yet? Which I could think of quite a few. But in my spirit, what was really resonating was, I want to be a God chaser. Because there's a book called God Chaser I've read several times about these people. They walk onto a train, and like just the presence of God is on them so much, everyone's weeping and crying and repenting and getting saved. Like, I mean, these stories, and almost all of them took place in Texas too, and I lived in New York at the time, so it was funny. You know, people walking in restaurants, again, people just coming and saying, what's different about you? I feel something. What's going on? I mean, just, they don't even have to open their mouths. The presence of God was on them so much. So I said, the prayer that I've always been praying for is to be a God chaser like that. So at the end, he had us come up, prayed, I cried, which I don't cry, used to not cry very often. The past 6 months I've been crying quite a bit because of the Lord. Cried, did all that stuff, and I've never been the same. I will tell you, that has changed me just as much as me becoming a single 18-year-old to a mom. I mean, it was a world-changing moment for me. And it wasn't anything I did, because I've been reading my Bible, I've been doing the Christian thing. Nothing did I change in my routine. It was the Lord that implanted something in that moment that has changed me. And then Miss Cindy started her supernatural training, the Transform training. And before I come to the training, the Lord has already trained me, which I normally don't get dreams, but the Lord would give me a dream, and he would show me my, we had a game night at my house. My cousin, I had a dream that I was still at the game night, and I said, does someone in pain, someone need prayer? And my cousin came up and said, yeah, my right ankle, it hurts. And my right ankle started hurting really bad, like in the dream. So I wake up and my right ankle is still hurting. And I said, Lord, what is this? Is this how you're gonna show me? And immediately the pain went away. And so then I come to class, and Miss Cindy teaches on words of knowledge. And it's like, oh, feel your body. If you feel a pain that's not normally there, it's probably because someone's supposed to be healed of that. And I'm like, well, I just had a dream. And I've never heard any teaching on that before. Never read anything on that before. And I had that whole dream the Holy Spirit gave me. She gives me a teaching. So, of course, next time I see my cousin, I say, hey, Chris, you got any ankle issues? He's like, yeah, my right ankle, all the time. I twist it all the time when I play basketball. It's really weak. So I prayed for it, and he has yet to twist it. And it's been like four to six months, and he has yet to twist it again, which he used to do it all the time. And the Lord has been consistently doing that since this moment. I mean, it's ridiculous. It really is. I missed Cindy's teaching on prophecy. I was super bummed because I went back to visit family, and I came like as a soldier. I was ready. I prayed for so many of my family members. I got a story with my dad, really awesome, but I'll get back to that in a second. So I was missing the prophecy teaching. I was super bummed. Well, I had a dream while I was in New York, and it was a whole download again. And so I brought it to my sister-in-law's sister, who I've only met once, like the day of the wedding. And I called her because I actually had her phone number for some reason. And I, you know, explained to her, this is what I felt, this is what happened. And she said I was completely dead on. It was completely prophetic. I've never done that before. I just repeated what was downloaded and imprinted on my heart. And I stepped out in faith to this person who I've only met once and said, by the way, I think the Lord wants this of you, and this is what you're gonna become, and this is how it's gonna happen. And she was like, yep, 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 awesome. And then she said, have you taken a prophetic class? No, I have not, actually, I'm missing it right now. And she said, well, I'm taking one, and that's exactly how they say to do it. And I come back to Cindy's, and I listen to her videos, and I did exactly step 1, 2, and 3 that she gives, and I never took the class. The Lord has also been amazing because I've been praying for healing, to give people healing, to be able to heal. And someone from my Bible study back, she said, well, you know, not everyone gets the gift of healing. And I was like, I don't want to hear that. Like, I was just like this. I was like a little five-year-old, like, nope, I'm getting the gift of healing, and I'm going to use it, and it's going to happen. Let me tell you right now, after 6 months, I mean, it pretty much happened right away. About 9 out of 10 people that I pray for are like 100% healed. I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on my God. Okay. I went to the movie theaters a couple weeks ago, girls in crutches. She walks past me. I'm already sitting for the movie. I said, well, on our way out, I'm praying for her and she's getting healed. I prayed for her, healed. Okay. She had surgery on her ankle. She's supposed to have that cast on for weeks. She said it was a level 6 pain. It was nothing. But I had to pray twice, so don't be afraid to pray twice. I had another, just this Saturday, I was at the park, a little girl sitting down with her mom, talking about pain, so I'm kind of paying attention. She gets up, I see a big boot on her leg. I'm like, oh. So I said, can I pray for you? She said, yes, and her pain was a level 6. I prayed for her, it went down to a 4, prayed for her, it went down to a 0. And you know, you want to hope that they're telling you the truth, but sometimes you're wondering, are they just being nice, you know? But directly afterwards, I'm talking to the mother, and Matthew points out that she's climbing a cargo net with the boot on after she was just sitting there complaining of pain. And then 2-3 hours later, because we're still at the park, she has the boot off, and she's holding it and walking through sand, and like walking and through the sand and then into the parking lot holding her boot. So I'm like, 3 hours at the park, you know, that ankle would be exhausted. Obviously, it was healed in the name of Jesus. So it's really awesome because the Lord has been doing healings. He's been doing prophetic. Cindy called me out last month and had me just stand in front of the whole church and give prophetic words on the drop of a dime. And it was not me. It was the Lord totally bringing it out. And the whole point of all these little stories that I'm saying for you guys is I didn't do any of this before Easter. None of this. I would pray for people, but nothing would happen. You know, and I would pray for my family. Like, you know, if Jessica came to me during Bible study and said, hey, you know, I hurt myself, I would try and pray for her. But I now, whoever I see with an injury, I'm like, you need to get healed right now. You need to get healed right now. And like I said, 9 out of 10 times the Lord is good to do it. And it's just as simple as you not all of a sudden reading your Bible all the time. It's not you all of a sudden are going to church every Sunday. It's in your heart, are you ready to do that switch and allow the Lord to come in and switch it for you? Because you ain't going to switch it. But are you allowing the Lord to come in and give you that boldness to say you're no longer a slave to fear? Because that's what it was. All the time the Lord would nudge me. Hey, go pray for that man. What if he thinks I'm weird? No, I'm not going to do that. Hey, go pray for them. No, I got my kids. Like, who's going to watch my kids if I'm praying for them? I do that all the time. Now I leave my kids in the dust. I'm not going to lie. I'm like, Jesus, protect them. Okay, excuse me. Hello, I need to talk to you. And they're 2-3 feet behind me. And I just believe the Lord will just keep them nice and tidy right there. I'm not letting things hold me back anymore. If I do not allow excuses anymore. And because of that, the Lord has used me in so many miraculous ways. I go to parks. I go to children's museums, I go anywhere really, the supermarket, and I'm there praying for somebody. And it's not even, you know, the people just walk past me. I feel like the Lord is setting them up just for me, like a little red carpet, like let's just wheel them across to Erica. Like I don't even have to look for them. I mean, the grocery cart, there was another lady, they're always cast on the legs. Must be because I twisted my ankle. I twisted my ankle and it got healed in 8 weeks, and it should have taken over a year, a PT said, actually. I found out it should have taken over a year, and it got healed in 8 weeks, and I'm dancing all the time. Anyway, so that's my story. Let the Lord flip the switch if you're ready.
Well, Erica shared a little bit about her past, so I'll just skip over that part. So now that we're done hearing about the thrill of victory, I'll share a little bit about the agony of defeat. It might not sound like a testimony at first, but I promise you'll see why I'm sharing this. I love testimony. I love testimony times. And you're truly blessed if you're in a church that embraces testimony. There's no better way to say, yes, God, do it again. And it's a beautiful thing that we have a church leadership that allows the times for this to reflect on how far God has brought us from glory to glory. I had to write what I wanted to talk about down because I'm a much better writer than I am a speaker. So some churches don't even share testimonies. They rather forget about the past, sometimes for a really good reason. But they miss out on something. They miss out mainly on Revelations 12, verse 11, where it says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death." And it's just a really powerful thing, a weapon, a spiritual weapon that we have in our testimony. So I'm happy to share ours. One thing a pastor used to tell me was when the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. So I don't know why I threw that in there, but it made sense when I was writing it. So my first day here at Legacy, Jay's going through his series, Seated with Him. And it was just like exactly like Erica said, we sat down and we were fed from beginning to end. And I even considered, man, were we hypnotized? Because that was like the best word I've had in a very, very long time. And at the very end of that first sermon that I ever heard from Jay, he says, now everybody close your eyes, ask the Holy Spirit for a word. Okay, so I closed my eyes and I asked, okay, whatever you want to say, God, give me a word. And the word rise showed up in front of me. And I was like, whoa, I actually got something. It really worked. I was like right now, should I stand up? Or like, what do you mean by rise? I'm just learning and figuring out why God would give me that word. It's just awesome. So Christina and JD were the ones that opened our hearts up to Legacy. And JD said, man, you got to hear the lady talk on Wednesday nights. She's really good. So finally made it out to a Wednesday night. And long story short, we're walking out into the parking lot and I tell Erica, I can't believe that just happened. You know, here she's talking about practically everything I ever believed in and promising teaching supernatural gifts and ministry team training. And there's no way we're leaving this place. So that's pretty much how we got to this point. So part of that ministry training was to listen to Randy Clark's series on healing. And one of them was The Thrill of Victory and The Agony of Defeat. Thrill of Victory, obviously, about all the awesome things that God does and how he works in healing people. And the principles of healing, which aren't laws, but they're principles and often works that way. And then there's The Agony of Defeat, how any ministry has its burden, has an emotional toll that it can take on you. And I bore that first, which is interesting because some people, you know, they start their ministries, they see all these awesome miracles and stuff. And then it's almost like a dry spell where you're praying for people and nothing's happening, at least not the way you're expecting it to. And I encountered a lot of that. I would argue that the moment any of us accept Jesus, who's truly a Savior King, we accept a life that comes with a burden. Even Randy Clark in this specific series says that, you know, Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to pick up your cross. You know, but his burden is easy and his yoke is light. And it's a beautiful thing that it's a yoke. We both carry it. He carries it with us. Cindy mentioned it a few weeks ago. I listened to the audio. And that's just awesome. It's just something just lifted off of my soul when she mentioned that. But you got to admit, sometimes it hurts. So that's what I want to talk about. I know it doesn't sound like a testimony, but here I go. So I want to speak about four specific events that tested my faith this past summer. Starting in late June, it was like the third week, I want to say the third week of June. We're going through the healing part of the ministry training. And my shoulder's bothering, my left shoulder's bothering. And it hurts. It was hurting for a while, actually. Out of nowhere, I think I was just sleeping the wrong way or something. And JD prays for me, and Christina prayed for me, Colton prayed for me. And then as we're about to leave, JD kind of just shrugs his shoulders, puts his hands on my shoulder one last time and says, in the name of Jesus. I think that's all he said. He said something very simple. And it went away. First time I ever experienced an actual healing. I couldn't believe it. I kept moving around, trying to make it painful. It's like it went away. The very next day, I go to play pickleball, and these elderly folks whip me. Yeah. And I did something wrong to the other shoulder. And I said, oh, cool, no problem. I'll just get some prayer and get that one healed. And I kept coming back, and it wouldn't get healed. We went to a conference up in Austin, which God had his way through presence. And I figured, okay, well, we're here to learn about praise and worship. We didn't even know what the conference was about. We heard who was going to be there, and we're like, we're there. So we showed up, and we're like, oh, it's a praise and worship conference? Interesting. But we learned something we never even knew about. I mean, I thought I knew what praise and worship was until I got there. So I said, okay, maybe if in the praise and worship service or whatever, this is when I'll receive healing. And I kept waiting, kept going back. It was at least four different times that we went to the services and no healing. On the way back, my arm is still in excruciating pain, and there's no rest, no way I can position it to make it feel better, nothing. And I had to come to terms with my faith, and I said, you know what, God, I know you're a healer. I know you're a God of miracles, and even though I'm not receiving healing the way I want to right now, I'm still going to trust you. And I mean, it was almost like treatments. I kept coming back and having Colton specifically pray for me. He'd just come up to me and say, hey, how's that shoulder? And I said, I need prayer, dude. After a couple months, the pain eventually went away. I still have a little bit of a click. I mean, kind of not scared, but not exactly using my shoulder the way I would use it, just because I don't want to hurt it again. And I didn't receive healing this second time the way I really wanted to and the way that I experienced the first time. So, but I didn't give up. I still trust that God is a good God. This second test of faith, which happened a couple weeks later, I used to work in the ICU in Seguin. And while I was there, I had a patient who's very, very sick. And if you're in the ICU, it's probably because you're sick. So I went in and I prayed for him, and I confessed my faith while I was in the room. And I said, God, I believe you're a healer. I believe it's your will to heal, so let's just do this. I said, come, Holy Spirit, heal this man. So he was already starting to kind of do better. We actually he was on a ventilator, on a breathing machine, and we were weaning him off. He was going through a trial to try to extubate him later that day. And when I went back to sit down to document or whatever it was I was doing, he coded. His heart decided to stop. So we all rush in there, do a typical code blue, just like you see on TV, and he died. Right after I prayed for him. I mean, it was no more than 20 minutes after I prayed for him. And so I said, God, what was this about? You know? And then clicked in my head, you know, the Matthew 10 thing where he said, go heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. So I said, okay, maybe you just want me to practice raising the dead. Cool. So I go in there. Shut the door behind me after everybody cleared out, shut the curtains, and I go to clean them up. And there's a respiratory tech in there helping me clean the room, and she's cleaning up her stuff, and she's Catholic, so she's used to, you know, praying for the dead anyway. So I figured, okay, it's safe enough. It's the best I'm going to get. So, because I don't want anybody to think I'm crazy and lose my job over this. So I go and I confess my faith again. I said, God, I believe what you said. I believe you sent us to heal and to raise the dead. So let's do it. Raise him back up, Lord. And I prayed for him to be raised from the dead. He didn't get up. But when I opened my eyes, the respiratory tech had her eyes closed and her head bowed. She was praying with me. I thought that was cool. But it left me a little confused. It was one of the last days that week that I was working. I think I only worked one day after that. And I went to New York in July on a vacation. I think I was there about 2 weeks. So I had some time to rest and think about it, meditate on the goodness of God, and decide whether or not I'm going to do this again ultimately. So I came back from vacation, and I had a patient in the ICU again. And I go in to ask him if he wants prayer, and he said, yeah, yeah. He was like really receptive to it, so I held his hand real tight and holding me tight. He was a man, totally praying with me. It was awesome. I'm like, cool, this guy's going to get healed for sure. And if not, at least he'll come back and thank me for taking care of him. I mean, this is going to be a good testimony no matter how it works out. A couple hours later, he codes and dies. So now I'm thinking, well, I've just came back from vacation. I'm pretty well rested. I'm prayed up. I've humbled myself at least once this week. I feel like a great sense of faith and compassion for this man. Truly, God wants me to raise him from the dead. So I go back in there after everybody cleared out and declared him dead. And again, I prayed for him to be risen back up from the dead. Even though I was moved with compassion and I had the faith to do it, he didn't get back up. So at this point, I'm starting to feel a little bit compassion fatigued. It's a real thing. About a week later, I have another patient, pretty rough status. So I go in there and ask him if he wants some prayer, and he said, yeah, I prayed for him. This time, all the way till got towards the end of the shift, and I'm thinking, I'm already starting to think about what I'm going to do tomorrow, how I'm going to take care of him, where I'm going to pick up off from that night shift. And I go in there, he's trying to say something. I go in there, he's trying to talk to me, and he dies right in front of me. His heart stops, and he dies. And this time, his daughter's there asking us all kinds of questions, trying to make sense of it all. She's just in tears. If you open your eyes, you see a grown woman crying. If you close your eyes, you hear a child crying. That's the only way I could explain it. At least that's how I interpreted in my heart what was going on in the situation. So it was a rough, it was like one of those, it wasn't like your great-great-great-grandfather died, sorry for your loss, sure he was a good man, whatever. No, in this case, he was actually kind of young. He was only in his early 60s, maybe late 50s, and it was one of those rough ones. And so, again, I go in there to pray for him to be risen back from the dead, and I said, God, I'm not feeling it right now, but I know your word, I know your will, so I'm going to make it my way. And I prayed for him to be risen back up from the dead, and no dice. Like I said, it's not going to sound like a testimony. So in the meantime, I'm watching my wife seize every opportunity to come up here, give a goodness of God testimony, healing just about everybody she prays for. It even gets to the point where one day she came home and said, I prayed for somebody today, and I'm in the back of my head, I'm rolling my eyes. And she says, but they didn't get healed. And I said, oh, okay, well, this is a good thing that you prayed for them, and, don't be discouraged. It happens to me all the time. And on the inside, I'm thinking, oh, thank God. I'm normal. So it's just... And I had a few good friends that encouraged me the whole time, even though it wasn't even a dry spell. It's like, it hasn't worked for me, not once, not yet. Have not prayed for a healing and got the result I expected, not once so far. And so this test of faith, I mean, on the way back from work today, I was thinking about the timeline of these events. Started in late June, ended in the last week of July. About 40 days. 40 is the number of testing. So I just thought of that today. I thought, man, God, you're awesome. You're crazy, but you're awesome. So I finally feel comfortable enough to share what's been going on. I'm kind of scared at this point because people are going to think I'm killing people. It got to the point where I was thinking, maybe I'm not competent. I've only been doing this for 2 straight years and have only one death on my hands, which is a pretty good streak. And then JD and Christina were encouraging me one day, saying, you know, I'm not going to say any names, but it was JD and Christina I was talking to. One of them says, you know, maybe that's what God wanted in the first place. You prayed for healing, but God just wanted to take them, and that was sort of their healing, to be released from this world, that finally. I said, man, that's, you know, that's really encouraging. I wish I could really accept that right now. And then the other one, I'm not going to say any names, says, well, you don't know how they lived. Maybe they needed to die. You don't know what they did in their life or what they were doing. So I was like, okay. So either way, it's good to have good friends and brothers and sisters in Christ who can bear a little bit of burden with you. So Randy Clark kind of went through a similar experience that he shares in this lesson. And God responds to him. Because he does this thing where he says, God, I believe you. You're God of miracles. I believe you heal. I believe you heal this. You want us to heal the sick. I believe you want us to cast out demons. I believe you want us to cleanse the lepers and raise the dead back to life. You know, kind of mumbling that last part because he felt uncomfortable with it. And God responded to that. And this is what he says that God said to him. He said, don't you dare lower my word to the level of your experience. Don't you be an experience-based preacher. Do not create a theology that excuses your lack. Do not create a theology based on your own experience, on not seeing the dead raised or people healed. Preach my word and let people's experience rise to it. This is very encouraging to me because there is one thing that I know I'm just wired to do, and that's to teach. God has been revealing the word to me in ways I can't even explain. I'm putting things together in my head. I mean, I know our brains are wired for this, but I'm putting the Old Testament and New Testament together in a way that I didn't think I could ever do in the past. I have never been able to do. And it's just really cool how God is revealing things to me. So instead of accepting my circumstances in this time of discouragement, I chose to persevere. I think there comes a point in time in everyone's life who wants to pursue God that they have to make this decision whether or not they're going to be all in. And I've heard quite a few testimonies from people here that ultimately they had to decide whether or not they'll be all in despite their circumstances and not seeing what God promised occur in their lifetime yet. So I humble myself on a regular basis and never stop expecting more from the Father. I've only shared a testimony once before here on a Wednesday night. I consider myself the least qualified to hold this microphone, let alone a director's position. So when the position was presented to me, on the inside, I was really excited because it's something I always knew I wanted to do, even since I was in high school, to lead a youth ministry. But at the same time, it's like, man, how am I going to teach stuff that I can't do? And just recently, God is reteaching me, you got to get out of my way. This is me doing it, not you. Your testimonies are for me to overcome in your life, not to show what you can do and how far I brought you. I'm the one doing the carrying. So just this past week, I read a psalm that was presented in our home groups that I've never read before, and I can't believe I've never read this. And it said, how's it start? Trust your Lord thy God. Do good. Dwell in your land and feed on his faithfulness. So my testimony starts and even ends in a way that isn't typical. It's not all good stories. It's actually all negatives. It's not experiencing what God promises. It's almost the opposite. I prayed for healing and I got death 3 times in a row. But I'm not going to stop. It's not a reason to stop. God is worth the effort in prayer. And even if I never, ever heal a single person, or at least a person never healed under my prayer, I'm not going to stop. I choose to be all in, because my Christ died for me. And he said it was worth it.
And I have 2 more stories that I was reminded of because of this lovely man that are extremely recent that happened just within a month, and to shine a little bit of blessings that he is growing, not all these doom and gloom. My husband was coming home for like a month or 2 straight every day from work because he has some downtime. Super excited about the word of God. Look what the Lord showed me. Look at this brand new thing. I mean, I call him the professor because sometimes he talks at a level that is just right past me. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about, babe. And he's super excited because he's getting this in-depth download from the Lord from reading the Bible. So at that point, because he was coming home every day with something new, I was getting a little like, well, I'm going to read my Bible and I'm going to get something really good too so that when you come home, I could be like, look what the Lord showed me. So I read it, nothing. I'm like, come on, Lord. I read it again. You know, it's just, you get some of those days that it's just face value. You're not feeling the Lord hit you, like with some new rhema. So we go to sleep, and it is the night before I start my children's director position. And the Holy Spirit wakes me up in the middle of the night, and I feel like the Holy Spirit was doing it anyway, but it wanted my mind to be on the same track and to be in agreement. For the spirit of Elijah to fall down on my volunteers. And I was like, okay, I don't know why the spirit of Elijah, I don't know why this, but I'll be in agreement. So in my head, I'm praying for the spirit of Elijah to fall down on my volunteers. And then the Holy Spirit prompts me to pray that those who have a true heart to seek the Father to be drawn to me like a magnet. And I'm like praying this stuff that the Holy Spirit's feeding me to pray, and I'm just in agreement. And my husband is sleeping. I mean, he does not wake up if I scream. And he goes, what's going on? Something's happening. Something's changing in the atmosphere. I feel it. And I'm like this, and my cover is like, what? I said, well, I just prayed for the spirit of Elijah to fall on my volunteers.
Like, I had both my hands up in the air, still with my eyes closed because I'm not even awake enough to open my eyes. And I felt something moving in the air. And I thought, oh, maybe it's just a fan. But the fan wasn't on. Mm-hmm. The air was moving, yeah. And it almost felt like an air fish swimming by. It was. That's the only way I could describe it.
So I'm like, okay, that's kind of weird. Like, I'm just praying to myself, but it is affecting the atmosphere so much so that he's waking up in the middle of the night to say that. So I think another week or two goes by.
I'll tell it.
You're going to tell it?
Yeah.
All right. So I'm still trying to get rhema from the Bible.
A week or two later, I wake up in the middle of the night. I mean, Dad, what time was that?
It was like 1 a.m.
Like 1 a.m.
I was taking a late shower.
I'm fast asleep right around 10:30 latest, maybe 11. So I wake up wide awake, just like, man, I even was ready to check my phone. And I'm like, man, maybe I slept through my alarm. Maybe my alarm's about to go off because I feel like I just had a full night of rest. And I hear Erica in the shower singing. And I said, oh, maybe that's what woke me up. So I go try to go back to bed, but I'm still kind of wide awake. And a minute, I mean, maybe two minutes later, Erica starts crying. And I said, yep, the atmosphere is changing. That's what it was. So it was just cool how we've just been experiencing God in a tangible way. It's just so incredible. I just had this conversation with my wife not too long ago. I said, did you know we can just go to God, the Father, just sit up on his lap and just completely feel him? She's like, yeah, no, I know, babe. We've done this. We've talked about this. I'm like, no, but our parents didn't have this. It's like, this is like something almost new. I mean, this is probably something we've always had and never realized, but we're at any point in time, we just want the presence of God. He shows up. And I mean, what parent wouldn't respond to their children? I mean, everybody who's had a kid has had a toddler. What do? They put their hands up like that. And what do you do? That's the universal communication to pick me up. And you pick them up. For whatever reason it is, it almost doesn't matter. They want to be picked up. Of course you're going to pick them up. Unless you want them to walk, they need the exercise, but that's different.
I think that's funny that you said that, because in the shower, okay, right before that, I was reading Behind the Veil, or Beyond the Veil, and it was children in China that are just totally connecting with God. Every time they pray, they're in heaven speaking with angels, all this really cool stuff. So again, I wasn't really receiving rhema. Cool story, got it. But it was like, I want a piece of that. So when I go in the shower, I raise my hands, just like, Daddy, come. And I start singing, The King is Here. And I'm like, and I ain't leaving till you come here. And in the book, it mentions if you close your eyes, it makes it a little easier because you're blocking out the other senses for the Holy Spirit to come on in. And so I closed my eyes, and as soon as I closed my eyes, like within 20 seconds, I felt God in the shower. Like the whole atmosphere changed. And now I'm weeping, The King is here. And I said, I swear to God, if Matthew wakes up and says the presence has changed, the atmosphere has changed, I was like, this is for me, not for him. And so he doesn't even say anything. He pretends like he's sleeping. And then like 2 weeks later, I tell Cindy, oh, I'm in the shower, this happened. And Matt's like, and I woke up and I said the presence was here. And I'm like, so he hid the fact that he totally felt it because he knew. He just had to.
I was waiting for her to share the story because I wanted to be genuine to her that happened.
But what I was trying to say is, you know, we're different. We have the same Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's working very different in me than he's working in him. But it makes us actually perfect for the positions that we're in now, because Matthew writes curriculum beautifully, and I come up with super fun, let's meet Jesus. Let's go heal. Let's go prophesy. Let's go do the really fun stuff that kids love to do. And Matt does the awesome, this is who Jesus really is, and this is who you really are in Jesus. And so us together, actually, we help each other a lot with our curriculum. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, I want you guys to go ahead and pray over us. Just whatever you feel like the Lord wants to impart. There's power in testimony. And so not just in hearing this story and how it may have stirred your heart, but I really believe that there's an impartation that you guys can release. So just pray over us, just whatever you feel like the Lord lays on your heart.
Okay. Yeah. One thing I'd like to share real quick before we pray. Yesterday, God led me to write a lesson on shalom. And so looked it up on Wikipedia. I already knew that it meant peace and a couple other things associated with peace that are awesome. But somewhere in there it says there's a conjugated verb. It gives you three conjugated verbs for shalom. And one of them says, it's been paid for. The other one says, it was worth it. And the other one says, it's already been taken care of. And I said, whoa, that's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Father paid for it already. The Son said it was worth it. And the Holy Spirit convicts us of our righteousness and said, this has already been paid for. It's taken care of. So it was just God just spoke that to me. And I feel like I've been carrying, I've been moving in that today. Just an incredible sense of peace. So that's the first thing I want to impart to you. Because if you go through a time like me, you need peace. I mean, we all need peace. But when you're making a significant effort towards moving in the goodness of God, sometimes you just need daddy's peace, letting you know it's okay. It's okay to fail. You can't really fail. We all end up in heaven eventually. So that's the first thing I want to pray over you. So Lord, thank you for your peace, the peace beyond understanding. Lord, pour out your peace on all of us right now, everyone in this room, so much so that they carry over. They carry it and it spills over on everyone that they that surrounds them, wherever they go. Let it fill up our homes. Let our vessels be broken only to shed more peace, Lord. Let us be conduits of peace. Have your peace flow in our lives, Lord. Let it renew our minds. Establish our souls. Renew our spirits, Lord. Bring healing to our bodies. Let your peace flow. Come, Holy Spirit, let us feed off of you. Feed off of your beautiful fruit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
And I would like to impart whoever is ready to flip that switch, and I say take it from the stairs to the escalator with their relationship with the Lord. Just switch it on over. Who's ready to become a God chaser to like a whole new level that you can't even imagine? Can I just ask them to come up? Because that's what Papa Jack did for me, and I stepped up, and it changed my life. And it's not going to be my prayer. It's going to be Father God seeing you step forward. That's going to flip that switch from the stairs to turning them on to an escalator, and for your walk with God to just supernaturally go fast forward. So if anyone wants that, can you all come up and can I lay hands on you? If you guys want to sit down, I guess, or stand up front.
All right, good. Okay, so one more thing, one announcement before I want to release this to that February 24th, 25th, 26th, that weekend, Pat and Jim Banks of House of Healing Ministries is going to be here doing a conference called Living Free. They are inner healing ministers. They raise up inner healing ministry teams. The Lord has downloaded amazing stuff about trauma and being able to break free from your past and break free from a new way of thinking. And there's just so much good stuff that they're going to come. And they're praying right now specifically for the messages that the Lord wants to release through them. And I just want to encourage you to come and encourage you to bring people that you know to come, even if they're, I mean, this is a citywide whoever wants to come kind of a thing. It's completely free. We'll take up a love offering for them. But come and to be able to hear and to receive from them as well, because they're really amazing. And it's that weekend, the 24th, 25th, 26th. And registration is already available on the website if you guys want to do that. So let me pray. Father, I thank you. You are so good and you are so kind. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for just your manifestation tonight, your love, your presence, and your power. God, I thank you. I thank you that we can operate with you, co-labor with you, God, to see heaven advanced, that you know each one of us by name. God, that there are details about us that you want to declare over us how you see us. And so I thank you. I thank you, Father. And I just release a blessing over each one here and each one listening to this message tonight. Father, I ask that you just penetrate deep the truth of God, the power of testimony, regardless of what it looks like, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat, that all of it is being used by you for your glory in our story. And so I thank you for that, God, that you're never finished with us. You're always doing something, and I thank you for that. We love you, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. So if we'll go ahead and bring the youth up if you guys are willing, or you guys can just circle around them or whatever. Just grab a couple of them. And we've also got a few of the kiddos here too, if you guys want to grab the kiddos that are here from the children's ministry as well. I just want a couple of you guys just to practice prophesying over them and releasing words. And we will see you guys Sunday and then here again next week. All right.